Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Herman Ostry's barn floor was under 29 inches of water because of a rising creek. The Bruno, Nebraska farmer invited a few friends to a barn raising. He needed to move his entire 17,000-pound barn to a new foundation more than 143 feet away. His son Mike devised a latticework of steel tubing and nailed, bolted, and welded it on the inside and the outside of the barn. Hundreds of handles were attached. After one practice lift, 344 volunteers slowly walked the barn up a slight incline, each supporting less than 50 pounds. In just 3 minutes, the barn was on its new foundation. God's people can accomplish amazing things when we work together. We see this in the book of Nehemiah, when the Jews, under the leadership of Nehemiah, worked together and rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem in a staggering amount of time. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 read, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Nehemiah had been sent to Jerusalem by King Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. We were introduced to Sanballat and Tobiah in our last episode as we looked at Nehemiah chapter 2. They were not happy about Nehemiah coming to Jerusalem to build the wall and attempted to stop the work by intimidation and mocking before it started. Here, their opposition to the work continues as the work began. And what is plain to see in these verses is a principle for the Christian life. Whenever you try to accomplish anything significant for the Lord, you will face strong opposition. The name Satan means adversary, and Satan is committed to opposing God and his people and his work in this world. There will always be opposition in the Lord's work and in the Christian life. We have an adversary who will try to get us sidetracked or discouraged, so we give up. Further, we see here that even though it was God's will for Jerusalem's walls to be rebuilt, God did not remove the opposition. And likewise, even though it is God's will for us to grow stronger in our faith and for the church to work in this world to advance His truth, God often does not remove the opposition. Because the opposition, if properly responded to, is to drive us to greater dependence on the Lord and to greater determination to do what He has called us to do. Seeing the construction of the wall made Sanballat, the governor of Samaria, wroth and took great indignation, it says there. He was furious. He was burning mad. And the reason being that a strong Jerusalem could endanger the balance of power in the region and rob Sanballat and his friends of influence and wealth. Sanballat and the army of Samaria and some of his countrymen gathered within hearing distance of the wall, and Sanballat mocked the Jews. Satan frequently uses mocking against those who take a stand for the Lord. If you become a believer and let it be known, people around you in life often will mock you. Believers get called names. They're mocked for finding religion. We're accused of thinking we're better than others. They wait for a believer to fall into some sin so they can justify their unbelief, and they're quick to say Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Your faith and your commitment to Christ threatens other people's lifestyle. It convicts them of their unbelief, and so they mock the believer. In his taunting, Sanballat ridiculed the workers, calling them feeble Jews. Believers are called weak for trusting Christ and his word. They say we have a crutch, but we are weak. We should admit it. The truth is, everyone is weak. Most mask it or try to hide it. Trusting the Lord, trusting his word, that's what makes a person strong. The following is called The Crutch by Andrew Lansdowne. What do we say to people who claim that Christ is a crutch? Basically, I think we should agree with them. In a spiritual sense, we all have broken legs. None of us can stand upright without help. By God's grace, Christians understand and acknowledge this. Yet here is a paradox. By being dependent on Jesus, Christians can be independent of everything else. Drugs, gambling, pornography, peer approval, worldly pursuits, those crutches that take only so much weight before they collapse are avoided or discarded by persons who walk with Jesus. We are not ashamed of Christ, our crutch. He is not like those worldly crutches that ultimately cripple those whom they appear to prop up. He uplifts whom he upholds. We gain independence through dependence on him. We stand surely by leaning on him. God delights to use feeble, humble people as his instruments to get his work done in this world. We see that here in the building of the wall by these feeble workers. And by this, though, God gets the glory that is rightly due to him. Sanballat asked a bunch of sarcastic questions in verse 2. What are these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Or how could a bunch of feeble, weak Jews build a wall strong enough to fortify and protect the city from this, his powerful army that was standing with it? He asked, will they sacrifice? By this he implied that it would take more than prayer and worship to protect these people. This was mockery of God. It was blasphemy, denying that God would or could help his people. He asked, will they make an end in a day, or will they finish this wall in a day? He's mocking that they had no idea how difficult and great the job was, that this would take many days, that they would soon call it quits and give up. And Satan's attacks against us include these very things. He mocks our weakness, he mocks our worship, and he mocks our work, our desire to do anything, something for the Lord. Sanballat then ridiculed the materials they were using, stones taken out of the rubbish that were old and fire damaged, implying they'd never last when they set them into the wall. Critics run with critics. Verse 3, Tobiah, an Ammonite leader, speaks up. He mocked also. Tobiah ridiculed the finished product. He said, you wouldn't need any army to knock the wall down. One solitary fox jumping on that wall would do it. It was, if a fox jumped on this poor excuse for a wall, he would break it down. After each rhetorical question, the army, all the people that were gathered probably roared with laughter. From a human point of view, the Jewish remnant was weak and poor and the work was too great for them. But they had a great God and they had faith in him.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Gambling with Eternity is a glossy finished gospel tract written by Pastor Ricky Kirk. There are so many ways to gamble these days. Casinos that used to be found only in Las Vegas now seem to be everywhere. People gamble on sporting events, at racetracks, and in state lotteries. But even if you have never placed a bet, if you are not saved, you are gambling with eternity. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, read, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Nehemiah fought his battles through prayer. It would have been very human to want to punch Sanballat, Tobiah's lights out, but he didn't. Nehemiah never said a word to the critics. He talked with the Lord. Nehemiah's response was to pray and persist. And that's how we are to react in the spiritual battle to mockery. Don't argue. Don't lash back. Just take it to the Lord. Be strong in him and then get back to work for the Lord. Mockery and criticism must not keep us from moving forward in his work. The sidewalk supervisors, as they've been called, wanted them to discontinue building the Jerusalem wall, but with grit and with determination, like how verse 6 says, "So built we the wall." They built it anyway. Nehemiah and the builders stayed at the task. They could mock all they wanted. The instruction was, keep mixing the mortar, hand me another stone, give me another stone. The people had a mind to work, Nehemiah wrote, and the builders went at it, working day and night, splashing on the mortar, putting the stones into place one after another. They worked so efficiently at first that half of the wall went up very quickly. As the enemy saw the work progressing, and the gaps in the wall beginning to get filled in, these groups of people became very wroth, really hot with anger. As a result, they decided to plan a secret attack against Jerusalem. God's people sometimes have difficulty working together. But you see here how the world has no problem uniting in opposition against the Lord and against his people. Verse 8 says, "They conspired all of them together. Sanballat and Tobiah were joined by Arabians, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites." These were all different people from different places, but yet they were one in their opposition. And this group of adversaries planned and schemed to cause a disturbance, to attack and fight and hinder the building of the wall. The opposition increased and intensified. If anger and mocking and ridicule doesn't work, satanic opposition often gets more aggressive. With the intensified opposition, though, Nehemiah's reaction was to intensify his prayer. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God." Intensified opposition against God's will is a call for intensified prayer by the people of God. Nehemiah led the people to pray. And he also took decisive, practical action. He posted guards around the clock against this possible attack. It was a common sense response. And it's a reminder to us that readiness at all times is important in the spiritual battle, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 to 12 reads, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearer of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Discouragement sets in among the builders. Leaders and people from the tribe of Judah came as spokesmen and tell Nehemiah that the people's strength was decaying and waning. They'd been working long and hard and were getting tired. They were at the halfway point, and the excitement had worn off. If you've ever remodeled a part of your house, you can relate. Halfway through the project, the excitement has left. You're tired, and you can get discouraged. You look around, and you see the mess, and the mess gets to be more than you can handle. Halfway can be discouraging. The people were saying that their strength was waning and that there was much rubbish or a lot of debris and mess. All they could see was dirt, broken stones, and dried chunks of mortar. The immensity of the job was sapping them of their drive, and they had lost their vision of the completed wall. Lacking confidence now, being weary and disillusioned, verse 10 says that they began thinking that we are not able to build the wall. Their earlier heart for the work that had resulted in the wall rapidly being built to the halfway mark was now diminishing. They had an overwhelming sense that they were never going to finish. And Satan knows that the halfway point in any work for the Lord is an effective time to strike. When a new project begins, there's plenty of enthusiasm. Let's build. Let's do it. If you get over the midway hump and you see the completion drawing near, there is another surge of enthusiasm. We're almost there. Let's get it done. But right in the middle of things, exhaustion and discouragement can set in. And discouragement is a powerful weapon in Satan's arsenal. And by discouragement, the Jews would defeat themselves. And Sanballat and his allies wouldn't even have needed to attack or fight them. The Jews were saying, we are not able. But this was the cry of ones who had taken their eyes off the Lord and were just focusing on their problems. The Jews who lived in the outlying villages then kept bringing a report to the city that the enemy was planning a sneak attack, and they kept telling this story repeatedly over and over. Part of the strategy of the enemy was to frighten the Jews by making them think their army would suddenly surprise them with a massive force that would engulf them. Their adversaries had been circulating a threat that they would come from every direction, and when they least expected it, wham, they would sneak in and attack and kill the builders and put a stop to the work. Mockery, discouragement, fear by subtle or overt threats and intimidation. Satan still does all of that to oppose the church in our service to God today. The Jews were tired. They were fearful. They felt like giving up. They were disheartened and discouraged. Like you can't ignore a flat tire, however, you can't ignore discouragement. So Nehemiah dealt with it. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 13 to 20 reads, therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one, had his sword girded by his side, and so we builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Nehemiah first stopped the work. The builders had been scattered all around Jerusalem working together, but they were also separated from their families. To encourage them, Nehemiah organized them according to families. He pulled them together as family units, and he armed family groups, knowing they would stand together and fight for one another and be encouraged by being together. He stationed families as guards with weapons, both behind the wall and on high places on the wall. When we are discouraged, we are primarily thinking about one thing, ourselves. So Nehemiah turned the builders' attention from themselves and their discouragement onto the enemy, uniting them in their purpose to stand and fight for each other. And then he turned their attention to the Lord. They were looking at the rubble and saying, "We are not able," when they needed to be looking to the Lord, who is great and terrible or awesome. He is more than able. Nehemiah rallied them and told them to not be afraid of the enemy or their threats, but to instead remember the Lord. He called them to trust him, to get their eyes on him who was with them and for them, and he wanted them to think about his greatness. When we face situations that create fear in our hearts, we too must remember the Lord and remind ourselves of the greatness of God who is for us and with us. Nehemiah then inspires their stand by calling them to fight for their fellow brethren, the Jews, to fight for their families, to fight for their sons, for their daughters, their wives, and their homes. Nehemiah was a pick-me-up. He was an encourager. He was a good guy to have around. And we are all called to be encouragers in the church. When the enemy learned that Jerusalem was armed and ready and prepared to fight and defend themselves, they backed off. Nehemiah then set up a plan going forward. Half of the men would work on the wall, while the other half would stand guard. Nehemiah had them serve one another as one, with one goal, some protecting, some working, all working together. Those who worked on the wall also carried weapons and swords, so they would work with a weapon in one hand and a building tool in the other, so they would be always ready in case of an attack. They were called to be warrior builders. And that image is the same for us in the Christian life, a hammer and a sword. The sword reminds us of the sword of the Spirit and of the spiritual battle. We have an adversary. We are each in a spiritual battle for the truth and for our testimony. At the same time, the hammer reminds us that there is work to be done for the Lord. We must serve, labor, and do the work of the Lord. We must build and battle. The word exhorts us to stand, to contend for the faith, to fight the good fight, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are equally exhorted to labor for the Lord, to work, to toil, to serve, to sacrifice, and faithfully do what God has called each of us to do for Him. The Christian life is about balance, and we must both stand for our faith using our sword, the Word of God, and we must use our hands and our talents to work for the Lord. Nehemiah kept a trumpeter at his side always, so an alarm could be sounded immediately in case of attack, and to rally the men who were spread out along the wall. Wherever the sound of the trumpet came from, they were all to rally and run to that spot. Likewise, we need to rally around each other in the spiritual battle. We need the support of one another in the church. And whenever the alarm is sounded, and there is a spiritual need or spiritual attack, we in the church need to run to that spot to be a help and encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Nehemiah encouraged them as they heard the trumpet and rushed to the spot for the place of battle. He tells them that our God shall fight for us, and He would give them the victory. Nehemiah inspired their faith in God and reminded them of His aid and His strength. Nehemiah was a leader who served and a servant who led. He was a prayer warrior. He was watchful and alert. He encouraged the people. He inspired them. He organized them. And he kept their eyes on the Lord. The reason the Jews succeeded in building the wall and keeping the enemy away was because they had a mind to work, a heart to pray, an eye to watch, an ear to hear, and faith in God. And this gave them the victory. Nehemiah 6:15-16 reads, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." Nehemiah and the builders kept after the task, and in spite of all the opposition and hardships, the wall was completed in early September, 52 days after they had begun. And Nehemiah's conclusion for it, he based on how the enemies of the Jews saw it. The enemies of the Jews and the nations round about took notice that the only way that this was possible was because of God. They perceived, and perceived correctly, that it was God's work, that He had worked through His people to complete the wall in such a short amount of time. God and His working was the only explanation for it. And that's a challenge for the church today, that we may so work together, that we may so trust the Lord, that the world takes notice that God is at work through us, and may He get the glory for it.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.